Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Perhaps you find yourself troubled by thoughts that you cannot seem to control, sins you can't seem to overcome, and generally in your life, the situations of your life don't seem to be going your way. The money is short, you're short on sleep, your relationship with your family or your spouse seems to be, well, not what you would like it to be, and maybe it's even deteriorating. Things at work, not so good either. The car won't start. The toaster is broken. Your kids aren't getting good grades. Are you under demonic attack? Is it the devil and his minions that are causing all of these things? Are your sleepless nights, your worries, your financial woes caused by a spirit of sleeplessness, a spirit of restlessness, a spirit of poverty? Do you need to know how to engage in spiritual warfare? You know, there are a lot of authors out there. They not only have books, but tapes. They tell you, they can tell you how to do warfare with the demonic and rid your life of all those troubles. They have several easy steps you can follow. What is the modern spiritual warfare movement? What is genuine biblical spiritual warfare? We're going to talk about that during this hour of Issues, Etc. We are coming to you live this Sunday evening, September the 21st. Our call-in number, if you'd like to join this conversation, 1-800-730-2727. 1-800-730-2727. You can also post questions or comments on the Issues Etc. forum. You get there by going to our website, issuesetc.org. Click on the What's New section and you'll find the Issues Etc. forum. Our guest during this hour to talk about spiritual warfare, Gretchen Pasentino. She's a regular guest. She's co-founder of Answers in Action, based in Costa Mesa, California. She's co-author of several books, including When the Devil Dares Your Kids, Satanism, and Witch Hunt. Gretchen, welcome back.
Well, thank you, Pastor Todd. It's always good to share, especially from God's Word. You know, the things you brought up at the beginning of the program are so important, and so many of us go through those things as Christians. If there's a way we can avoid those kinds of sufferings, it sure would be great to know that and to know it from God's Word.
Okay, you hear from a lot of people who are involved in or have been involved in the popular spiritual warfare deliverance type ministries. Can you relate to us a common story that you've heard from someone who's contacted you?
Usually by the time somebody contacts our ministry, they've been involved in a quote-unquote spiritual warfare ministry for some time. They usually encountered it first at a seminar in their church. They were usually attracted to it first because they had some unresolved problem in their life or some continuing habitual sin or frustration that they felt they couldn't deal with, and they thought that there was some help there. But by the time they contact our ministry, they end up being frustrated, defeated, fearful. I would even have to say paranoid. They have become so embroiled in the power of the devil, so embroiled in the machinations of the demonic, that they have forgotten to keep their eyes on Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. They are so fearful that every breath they take, every thought they have, can be influenced or controlled or at least perceived and countered by the demonic, that rather than these spiritual warfare seminars giving them liberation, they actually encounter bondage.
Now, are these people who contact you so distressed, are they people who've just taken the movement's teachings too far, to an extreme, or are they consistently listening to and adhering to the principles of the spiritual warfare movement and still being troubled this way?
Well, let me make three careful distinctions. First of all, I believe exactly what the Bible says about Satan, demons, and spiritual wickedness in high places. I do believe that Satan exists as an intelligent personality in opposition to God, but under God's control, and certainly not as a counterpart to God. Secondly, there are people who are involved in helping people to learn to live victorious lives as Christians and helping people to forsake the ways of the demonic, people who are actually involved in spiritism and divination and bondage to astrology and things like that, who really bring people freedom. But then the kind of popular spiritual warfare movement that we're talking about tonight is the kind that I believe is inherently unbiblical. And it shares with it shares with many other self-help type groups, whether Christian or non-Christian, one very important fundamental, and that is you must believe that the movement has all the right answers. If it doesn't work for you, it's not the fault of the movement, not the fault of the teachings, not the fault of the popular person propagating it. It must be your fault. You have failed. That, I think, is one of the most destructive, absolute core essential principles of the popular spiritual warfare movement. With the testimonies of people who say they now have victory in their life, and it usually, by the way, is very short-lived, or they have learned things in their Christian walk that they could have learned just as well, in fact, much better without the spiritual warfare movement, and so their lives genuinely are improved. But for those people for whom it doesn't work, and because I believe it's fundamentally unbiblical, it will not work for almost everybody, and those it does work for, it works for accidentally. When it doesn't work for you, the blame is always put on you. It's never put on the system itself or the unbiblical teachings.
Okay, let's contrast this unbiblical spiritual warfare movement with genuine biblical spiritual warfare. It is spoken of several times, in particular by St. Paul. What is genuine spiritual warfare?
Well, the Apostle Paul says very clearly in Colossians chapter 2, verses 10 through 14, that the principalities and the powers have been overcome by Jesus Christ in his death on the cross. It's not a matter of we're looking forward to the time when Satan is defeated. The Bible tells us he has already been defeated. The Apostle Paul also in Ephesians chapter 6, beginning with verse 10, talks about spiritual warfare and putting on the weapons of spiritual warfare. But when you look at those weapons, they are not pleading the blood of Jesus. They are not putting holy oil around all the windows and doors of your house. They are not reciting so-called pledges to Satan that you may have made unconsciously or that may have been made in your name without your knowledge. Instead, the weapons that are described in Ephesians chapter 6 are the weapons of a positive life of Christian discipleship, obedience to God's word, proclamation of the gospel, clinging to our salvation bought for us by Jesus Christ. All of the things that go for making good Christian discipleship are the very things that Paul describes as the weapons of spiritual warfare. In 1 John comforts us and reminds us that greater is he who is in us, that is Jesus Christ, than he who is in the world, that is the devil. We don't need to fear Satan. We don't need to fear the demons. We don't have to do a whole bunch of elaborate counter spells or blessings or anything else in order to avoid the power of the demonic. We cling to Jesus Christ, as Paul said in Philippians chapter 2, to me to live as Christ and to die as gain. No matter what circumstance we find ourselves in, and often as Christians we will find ourselves in conditions of tribulation and trouble and suffering. Jesus promises us that. When we find ourselves in those circumstances, we're not to look to the demonic, we're to look to the Lord. The Apostle Paul, of all people, should have been blessed and should have been protected from demonic attack. He should have had a life of great blessing and prosperity. And yet, if you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he lists all of the tribulations he suffered as an apostle. He was beat almost to death many times. He was lost at sea three times. He was betrayed by false brethren. He was betrayed by unbelievers. He went through all kinds of suffering circumstances, not because he was being demonically attacked, not because he was out of God's will, but because he was right smack in the center of God's will, and God preserved him in the midst of it. I think one of the things that attracts people to spiritual warfare, to the popular spiritual warfare movements, is because we have bought a false, unbiblical view that's a typical American view, that is, Christians should be always blessed and never in tribulation. That somehow the goal of the Christian life is to be personally fulfilled, to be happy, to be not suffering. And yet, what Jesus has promised us is not that we will not suffer, but that when we suffer, he will be with us and he will provide the strength to go through it.
Now, Gretchen, we have about 1 minute, maybe a minute and a half here before we have to go. Is there a simple definition for spiritual warfare from the proponents of the popular movement?
Well, probably one of the most popular proponents of this unbiblical movement is Dr. Neil Anderson. And he has what he calls 7 steps to freedom in Christ. That should give you a clue right there. There are no simple answers. There are no one-liners that can sum up the movement or that can give you the power that the movement offers. Instead, it is a very belabored, very intensive, very complex system that makes the person involved in it become dependent on the leaders rather than being independent in Christ.
Gretchen Pasentino is our guest. When we come back, we'll speak a little bit more about the fear, the dependence, the superstition, the bondage of the so-called spiritual warfare movement. Gretchen Pasentino is co-founder of Answers in Action, based in Costa Mesa, California, co-author of several books, including When the Devil Dares Your Kids, Satanism, and Witch Hunt. Give us a call, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727, or visit our Issues Etc. forum and post a question or comment there. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, click on the What's New section, and you'll find the Issues Etc. forum waiting for your questions or your comments. When we come back, if we can't get a solid definition from the proponents of spiritual warfare, maybe we can look at the teachings of all these teachers and determine what it is they may have in common with one another. Then we'll have to contrast that with Holy Scripture. Do these teachings of spiritual warfare have anything in common with the teachings of Scripture?
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
If the book of Romans is Paul's treatise on justification by grace through faith, then the book of Colossians is Paul's treatise on Christ. What does Paul teach in the book of Colossians on the person and work of Jesus Christ? Our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for September is the Concordia Commentary on the Book of Colossians by Dr. Paul Dieterding. The book costs $39.99 plus shipping and handling. You can order by calling Concordia Publishing House at 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, or go online at issuesetc.org. Under the What's New section, you'll find information on the book. 1-800-325-3040, issuesetc.org. When you call or write, ask for the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for September. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. I've been looking at the book of Colossians quite a bit lately because, of course, our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for September is that great New Testament book from the pen of St. Paul. One of the most comforting passages comes in the first chapter there, verses 13 and 14, and it does bear upon our conversation right now with Gretchen Pasentino as we talk about spiritual warfare. St. Paul assures us, He, that is God, has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of our sins. Folks, you need to get the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for September. It's the Concordia Commentary on the Book of Colossians. You can order this new commentary by calling Concordia Publishing House weekdays during regular business hours, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, or you can order the book online tonight. Go to our website, issuesetc.org. Under that What's New section, you'll find information on this Colossians commentary. Issuesetc.org is the address. Now, when you call or write, make sure that you ask for the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for September, the Concordia Commentary on Colossians. 1-800-325-3040, issuesetc.org. Gretchen, if we cannot arrive at a solid definition of spiritual warfare, even from the proponents of spiritual warfare, without going through 7 steps to freedom in Christ, as you said, a very belabored way of arriving at a definition, can we approach it this way? What do the proponents of spiritual warfare have in common? What do they teach in common?
Well, most of them have in common certain very basic principles. The first being that the demonic, particularly Satan and the actions of his demons, other fallen angels, are not only active and powerful and common in this world, but that in fact they lie behind the majority of the persistent problems that Christians have. Now, when we look in the New Testament especially, and in the Old Testament to a limited extent, the Old Testament doesn't deal with the issue very much, we find that the demonic affects people who are not believers. And in fact, the examples we have in the New Testament show the believers, especially Jesus Christ and the apostles, as having authority and power over demons. But when we look at the popular spiritual warfare movements, we find that they are billed or advertised or promoted almost exclusively to Christian audiences, and almost exclusively they focus on how demons and Satan can control, prohibit, interfere with, plague, and I guess demonize even Christians, so that Christians end up being defeated in their walks in Christ rather than triumphant. Another interesting principle is that because these are promoted almost entirely to Christian audiences, and they're said to be problems that Christians experience, they need to address problems that Christians are going through. Well, I don't know about you, but I know for me, when I look at Galatians chapter 5 and I look at the sins of the flesh, the works of the flesh, I see all those areas that I struggle with in my own life, areas that I say belong to Jesus Christ, and yet I keep taking back responsibility myself and acting the way I want to rather than the way Jesus wants me to act. In the spiritual warfare movement, these sins of the flesh or works of the flesh become evidences of strongholds that demons have in your life. And so, for example, you can have a demon of obesity or a demon of lying or a demon of adultery or a demon of alcoholism. These are no longer the responsibility of the Christian to submit them fully and totally to the power of the Holy Spirit. But now, all of a sudden, the Christian is powerless because they are a demonic stronghold that can only be relieved by going through whatever pattern the spiritual warfare movement has set up.
It sounds as though one of the commonalities of the spiritual warfare teachers is that they tend to teach from experience and personal experience, not their own personal experience, but anecdotal experience recounted, rather than beginning with what Scripture clearly teaches about these matters.
That's a very important observation, Pastor Todd. And, you know, it's very interesting. If you look at all of the major Christian theologians throughout church history, whether you talk about the early church fathers or maybe the scholastics like Thomas Aquinas or some of the great Reformation thinkers, they always started and ended with Scriptures. They always said, what does God's Word to say about it? How can we know what is true compared to God's Word, because that's our standard of truth? But when you look at the spiritual warfare movement, what comes first to the fore is the idea that they have experienced these things, therefore they must be true no matter what the Bible says. In fact, there was a great Protestant theologian, Dr. Merle C. Unger. He was a dispensational theologian, very popular in the 1940s and the 1950s. And he used to teach, as a good systematic theologian, that Christians could not be demonized, that is, controlled against their will by demons, because that's what the Bible said. But then he began receiving reports from Christian missionaries overseas, and he went through some personal experiences where he believed he experienced Christians being demonized. Rather than thinking that there was something wrong with his experience, wrong with his understanding of his experience and conforming both of those things to the Word of God, he changed his teaching. And he even admitted that he changed it because of his experiences, not because of the Word of God. Now, all of the popular spiritual warfare teachers today, especially those that have more of a background in theology or academics, like Dr. Neil Anderson, will point to scriptures that they say support those teachings. But those scriptures really don't support those teachings at all. For example, there's a passage where Jesus heals the woman who had been had an issue of blood over a number of years, and she touched the hem of Jesus' garment, and Jesus healed her and cast out the demon that had been binding her. And because she is called a daughter of Abraham, the spiritual warfare teachers say, see, she was a true believer. But all daughter of Abraham means there is that she was Jewish, that she was a physical descendant of Abraham. It doesn't say anywhere that she was a believer. And you'll also notice that her liberation came instantaneously and at the mere word of Jesus. She didn't need any seven steps to freedom in Christ or any long, belabored, complicated system of rituals and exorcisms or anything like that. So even though they have a veneer of Bible teaching on top of it, they always come to their position by experience first and then try to bend or twist the scriptures to support their experiences.
With only a minute to the break, what about the tendency to appeal toward the sensational among spiritual warfare teachers?
I think there's probably no one more sensational than Bob Larson, who plies his trade on TBN. You can tune in there almost any time and see him casting demons out of Christians. I think it is horrendous. I think it is despicable. I think it manipulates and exploits, takes advantage of, and is very destructive toward Christians who are gullible enough to believe him and to believe that they can be freed from whatever besetting problem they have through his system. That kind of sensationalism is completely condemned in Scripture, and it is not the way either Jesus Christ or his disciples acted when they encountered what was truly demonic.
We're talking about spiritual warfare. Gretchen Passantino is our guest. She's co-founder of Answers in Action, based in Costa Mesa, California. You can check out the website for Answers in Action by going first to our website, issuesetc.org. Now, there's a section there titled Links with Regular Guests. Click on that, scroll down, and you'll find a direct link to Bob and Gretchen Passantino and Answers in Action. Or if you'd like information on how to receive Bob and Gretchen Passantino's free Answers in Action newsletter, call the Issues Etc. resource line. Here's the number, 1-800-737-0172. 1-800-737-0172. We'll give you the phone number and the mailing address for Answers in Action, 1-800-737-0172. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation on spiritual warfare. Another thing common to the spiritual warfare proponents seems to be that the demonic attack, this sensational, easy to supernatural manifestation of demonic attack, seems to be the rule rather than the exception. Is that supported by Scripture? We'll be right back.
Angel worship, secret knowledge, reliance on human wisdom. Sounds like American spirituality in the 21st century, but these same heresies were also popular in the first century city of Colossae. What can we learn today from Paul's letter to the Church of Colossae? Find out with the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for September, the Concordia Commentary on Colossians. The book is published by Concordia Publishing House. The phone number, 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. Or you can find out more about this brand new commentary on our website, issuesetc.org. Click the What's New section. That's issuesetc.org. The Concordia Commentary on Colossians is written by Dr. Paul Dieterding and costs $39.99 plus shipping and handling. The Concordia Commentary on Colossians, our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for September. For more information, Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues Etc.
I'm Todd Wilkin. We're joined by Dr. Paul Dieterding, author of the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for September, the Concordia Commentary on Colossians. Paul, how can 21st century Americans benefit by reading the Book of Colossians?
The error against which the book of Colossians was written, the error which caused Paul to write this letter, in quite a number of respects, bears significant similarities to that whole phenomenon in our own time that goes under the heading of New Age. And a lot of the ideas that were current among the Colossians in terms of the false teaching unsettling them are similar to things that we hear in our own day and that we may struggle with and have questions about. And so Paul's answer to the false teaching of his day has some rather direct and very pertinent things to say in application to our own age and many of the ideas that are current in our own time.
Explain in simple terms, what is a Bible commentary?
Bible commentary endeavors to explain the meaning of the biblical text. In our commentaries, we delve into the little details, the meaning of words, background, history, how the words relate to one another, parallel passages, and so on. And then we also sort of step back from looking at the trees to see the whole forest. And how does this all fit in with the whole message of the book? And just as significantly, how does it fit in with the whole message of the scripture? And so what we endeavor to do is in-depth explain the meaning of the particular biblical text that we're talking about, that we're writing on, and do so and see how it has its place in the whole proclamation of the Word of God.
That's Paul Dieterding, author of our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for September, the Concordia Commentary on Colossians. You can order the Concordia Commentary on Colossians by calling Concordia Publishing House weekdays during regular business hours, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. The book is $39.99 plus shipping and handling. Or visit our website, issuesetc.org. Under the What's New section, you'll find information on the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for September, the Concordia Commentary on Colossians by Paul Dieterding, 1-800-325-3040, issuesetc.org. Ask for the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for September. Next week on Issues Etc., we'll discuss liberal theology. Dr. Thomas Oden of Drew University will be our guest. How did the Episcopal Church USA, this one of the larger mainline denominations in the United States, get to the point of electing an openly gay bishop a month or two ago? How can the study of early church fathers and the ancient Christian creeds help combat liberal theology today? We'll talk about it next week on Issues Etc. Dr. Thomas Oden will be our guest. Now, if you'd like to know what we'll be discussing throughout the fall, check out our website, issuesetc.org. While you're there, be sure to read several articles written by our guest in this hour, Gretchen Passantino, on the subject of spiritual warfare, issuesetc.org. Now, if you have a question or a comment on spiritual warfare, give us a call now, 1-800-730-2727. 1-800-730-2727. You can also post a question or a comment on the Issues Etc. forum, our website, issuesetc.org. Click on What's New. You'll find the forum there for questions and comments. Gretchen, one other commonality in the spiritual warfare teachers seems to be that they depict this supernatural, sensational, demonic attack as the rule in the Christian life rather than the exception.
That is the case. And, you know, when we look in the New Testament and we look at the amount of the New Testament that is spent instructing Christians on how to live the Christian life, we find that almost exclusively the Scriptures focus on our relationship to Christ, our understanding of God's Word, our ability to understand and love and obey God, and very, very little of the New Testament is focused on how to combat the demonic. As a matter of fact, what we find when we study the New Testament in context is that the very best defense against demonic attack or any kind of attack, whether it comes from our flesh, from the devil, or from the world around us, the very best defense for any kind of attack is clinging to Jesus Christ and to His Word. And I really believe that the popular spiritual warfare movement, although many of its proponents and many of its popularizers may have a love for the gospel and a love for God's word, the popular spiritual warfare movement is being used very deceitfully by the devil to turn people away from the life that is in God's word and instead turn them toward rituals and formulas and long processes of somehow, you know, kind of amateurish hokey therapy in place of the life-changing power of God's word.
Okay, Gretchen, the devil is alive and well. He is active. in the world. There's no doubt about that. The scriptures are quite clear. He is, in fact, still our enemy. Is he a defeated enemy? If so, how so?
Yes, he is a defeated enemy. The Bible makes it very clear in Colossians chapter 2, in Ephesians chapter 6, in James chapter 1, in 1 John chapter 4, in a marvelous chapter that Paul gives us in Romans chapter 8. The devil is defeated by Christ's death on the cross. The devil never would have wanted Jesus to go to the cross, never would have encouraged the people who hated Christ to betray him, to try him, to arrest him, and to crucify him, if he had known that the salvation of the whole world came through what Christ did on the cross. On the cross, Christ paid the penalty for every single human being who ever lived or whoever would live that separated them from God. When we respond to that marvelous, accomplished, complete act in Jesus Christ, then we are redeemed by the power of his Holy Spirit, and the devil cannot touch us. The devil thought he was triumphing over God in the cross. Paul tells us in Colossians 2 that God triumphed over the devil in the cross. And in fact, it was God's predetermined plan that Christ would be sacrificed on our behalf. When we fear the demonic, when we believe that our lives are defeated unless we make a direct attack on the devil, when we focus on the failures in our life and blame them on the devil something that is completely outside of our own control, we are turning our eyes away from the Word of God and away from the power of the Holy Spirit that God has given us. You know, Matthew chapter 16, Jesus asked the disciples who people say that he is. And they said, well, you know, some say you're Elijah, some say you're who's to come. And Jesus said, who do you say that I am? And Peter said to him, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, Peter, but my Father who is in heaven. Peter was looking to the things of God, not to the things of the world or the things of the devil. And Jesus then said, Peter, you are the rock, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Now, usually we have heard that terminology, the gates of hell will not prevail against the church, and we think of it in the sense that the church will not be totally overcome by the devil, that the church will continue to survive. But when you think about it, gates are actually defensive weapons. They are not offensive weapons, and it's the gates of hell that Jesus is talking about here in Matthew 16. So what Jesus is really saying is far more than merely that the church will not be overcome by evil. He's saying that the church will overcome evil by the power of Christ's death on the cross. And in fact, immediately after that, Jesus explains to Peter and to the other disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and die a ransom for many. And Peter says, oh no, Jesus, don't go. And Jesus turns to him and says, get behind me, Satan. Now, was he saying that Peter was demon-possessed? No, he didn't cast demons out of Peter. He didn't lead him through the seven steps to freedom in Christ. He didn't get him into an intensive therapy session or an enormous sensationalistic exorcism in the midst of a congregation with him, you know, throwing up in a garbage bag, throwing the demons up. Instead, what Jesus was saying was that Peter was thinking about the devil instead of thinking about God. When he thought about God, he knew Jesus was the Christ. When he thought about the devil, he didn't want Jesus to die for our sins. And in fact, Peter finally learned his lesson, and he became the greatest of the 12 apostles, the one who stood firm in his faith as the gospel was preached to the Jews, to the Samaritans, and then to the rest of the Roman world. And that gospel is what gives us the preservation against the demonic.
Now, you mentioned the gospel. What is the devil's real aim, if you could boil it down to one thing he's really about now as our enemy?
It's hard to boil it down to one thing, but I would say that fundamentally, he doesn't want us to know that the battle has already been won. Consequent to that, he doesn't want us to know that the battle has already been won by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And more than that, he doesn't want us to know that the battle has been won by the Lord Jesus Christ himself by his death on the cross. It is the power of the cross, Paul says in Romans 1:16. That is the gospel, the power that saves us, everyone, whether you're Jewish or Gentile, whether you're in Jesus' day or an Old Testament saint, or somebody today in the 21st century. It is that power of the gospel, that power of the cross, that tears down anything that the demonic world or the secular world or even our own sinful nature can throw up in front of us to try to keep us away from God.
So does the spiritual warfare movement, as you have described it here during this conversation, this popular movement, does it in fact really play into the devil's hands in robbing people of the comfort of Christ's complete victory at the cross over Satan and all that he would do to us?
I would say yes, absolutely. And I want to thank you, Pastor Todd, for being willing to make an open statement like that, because many people who popularize this form of spiritual warfare are people who have good reputations, who are recommended by well-known Christian ministries, and it takes a good deal of confidence in the gospel to be willing to go against that kind of popularity and that kind of influence and say things exactly as you see them. And what you really see in the spiritual warfare movement is that people are turned away from the truth that is in Christ rather than being turned toward Christ.
Let's go to the phones. 1-800-730-2727. 1-800-730-2727. Up first, we've got Ron calling from Florida, listening on XM Radio. Ron, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hi, Todd. Gretchen, how y'all?
Very
Hi.
Well.
I got a sister out in Oklahoma City. First, I'd like to say something. It, saved or lost, God has created us creatures of choice. And we still all have choices, like not to blame the devil or everything that happens on the devil or demonic possession. We still are creatures of choice even after saved. It's a matter of us submitting our will to God and obedience to God in order to be in fellowship with him.
All right, Ron, and then, Ron, what was the point you wanted to make, because our time runs short here before this break?
Well, my sister is out in Oklahoma City. She got one of these people, it sounds like who you're describing, come over to her house with oil thrown it over the door and all around inside of the house and doing all kind of stuff. Like, what do you say to somebody like that?
That's an excellent question. Gretchen, we only have about a minute here before we go to this break. Begin an answer.
The very beginning of the answer is also the end of the answer, and that is turn her toward Jesus Christ himself. We don't need all these things set up between us and Jesus. We have him as close as our very breath. We cry out to him directly and intimately, and he is there with us in the power of the Holy Spirit to protect us. One of the great truths recovered by the Reformation is this immediate mediation that Jesus Christ has for us with the Father. We don't need to turn to Mary. We don't need to turn to the hierarchy of the church. We don't need to turn to oil on our doorways and our windowsills. We can turn immediately to God through Jesus Christ, and he will preserve us.
Gretchen Pasentino is our guest. Folks, if you'd like to receive a free tape of this two-hour broadcast with Gretchen on spiritual warfare, contact the local church that sponsors Issues, Etc. They'll send you a free cassette recording. Now, get a pen and a piece of paper ready, because you should hear an announcement with a phone number and a mailing address right after the Issues, Etc. close theme. So stay tuned and get that pen and piece of paper ready to write that down for the local sponsor of Issues, Etc. in your area. When we come back, we'll take more of your phone calls and conclude our conversation on spiritual warfare with Gretchen Pasentino. 1-800-730-2727. 1-800-730-2727. We have one line open. If you were calling a little earlier, getting a busy signal, this is a great time to try during this break. 1-800-730-2727. We're talking about spiritual warfare. Before we're done, it sounds as though there is bondage in this thing that claims to break bondage, because it points us away from the clear word of God and from the center of that word, Jesus Christ, toward ourselves, toward our own efforts to defeat the devil. Is that really what the popular spiritual warfare movement is all about? 1-800-730-2727. Stay with us.
A voice in the wilderness of American evangelicalism. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Noted author and Christian apologist Gretchen Passantino on why you should support Issues, Etc.
Even though I live in Southern California and there are a number of stations here dedicated to so-called Christian programming, I make it a habit not to listen to Christian radio. Most of it just isn't worth the time or the trouble. There's heresy, there's fluff that doesn't really have any significance to my Christian life, and very little of it prepares me to share the gospel with others. That's not the case with Issues, Etc. No matter where in the country you are, on Sunday nights, if Issues, Etc. is available, you'd better be listening. You'll get good preaching, good teaching, and all of it focused on God's Word.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues, Etc. by making a tax-deductible gift this week. Our address is Post Office Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Or you can make a credit card donation by calling our resource line at 1-800-737-0172.
If you would like to have a complimentary copy of our Issues, Etc. journal, or if you'd like to know how to contact Gretchen Passantino and Answers in Action, or if you'd like to help support the worldwide outreach of Issues, Etc., call our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172, or write us at Issues, Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. That's Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, zip code 63117. Now, we had a caller before mention it all being a matter of choice, and I would like to clarify a bit by saying when we talk about choice in this matter of spiritual warfare, we are not addressing the issue of someone choosing to follow God and thereby becoming a Christian. Jesus is very clear. He says, "You did not choose me, I chose you." So it is God who does the choice in that particular matter. What we're talking about when we talk about personal choice for the Christian in spiritual warfare is that you can't say, "The devil made me do it," when you fall into sin or submit to temptation. That was a choice you made. Those are the only kind of choices we could admit to before God, the ones that end with the confession of sin. Let's go back to the phones, and we'll talk a bit with James, who's calling from San Jose, California. He's listening on KFAX.
Greetings, and God, and praise the Lord today. I hear people talk about binding Satan from northeast, west, and south, but that kind of blasphemies scripture when it says, he goes to and forth like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And when Bob Larson, it looks like he thinks he has the power of miracles to cast out demons, like when Jesus sent him into the swines. And but I'm pretty sure that the devil can do miracles, which is what people don't realize. But when people think that they can cast out the devil and demons like that and do these sorceries, they're actually thinking they got the power of doing miracles. Because there's gold dust churches that gold dust is appearing on people's shoulders and gold teeth are appearing in their and all kinds of Sylvia Brown's the psychic reader and stuff. You know, I believe that the devil can do miracles, but he's still a devil. But I don't know about others. I get homesick sometimes, and with the Lord, I want to. Sometimes you want to just go home. Sometimes you can barely wait. But I realize that this is the only realm that I could fight the demonic forces, because our spirit, our warfare is not carnal. So I'm wondering, am I right with that thinking of that? If we go home, we can't fight the devil anymore.
James, that's a good question. Address his final question there, if you would, Gretchen.
Well, I think if by going home you mean our life here is ended and we go to spend eternity with God in heaven, that, of course, is entirely up to the Lord. It's not for us to decide either when we will live or when we will die. It's completely in His power and His control. And when you say that we are to fight the devil here in this lifetime, I would say that our fighting of the devil will continue when we die. When we look at the book of Revelation, we see that saints who have died before us, especially those who have lost their lives for the faith, are still praying before God's throne and are still worshiping God and serving Him. And He is using the prayers, the worship, and the service of His saints, whether they are dead or whether they are alive, in proclaiming the triumph of his kingdom worldwide. And so we should do the same thing in this life that we will do in the life to come. That is, we should keep our eyes focused on Jesus, on the salvation we have in him. We should praise, worship, adore, obey, and follow God as he's revealed himself to us through his word and in his son, Jesus Christ. And by keeping our focus on that, we will be fighting the powers of the devil, but we will be fighting them through the Lord's way, through the gospel's way, not through our own way.
Listening in Ashland, Oregon, and listening on KFAX, Tressa, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hi.
Hi, Tressa.
Hi, how you doing? I just wanted to thank you guys for bringing a little levity to my evening, you know. In a world where there's so many real enemies and atrocities, it's nice to maybe kids still entertain ideas like the devil and spiritual warfare. That's just great, you know.
And did you have any other comments, Tressa?
No, I just think you guys are funny, and Gresham's a kook, and I just wanted to tell you. Thanks.
All right, Tressa. I guess thanks.
It would be interesting to know what Tressa believes and what she thinks is important in her life and what maybe her life is dedicated to and whether she's ever given the claims of Christianity any serious consideration. You know, many people think that Christianity is silly and that people who believe in God and who believe in the devil are people who are ignorant and unscientific. But, you know, the historical resurrection of Jesus Christ is the best attested fact we have of any history anywhere, and I would challenge anyone listening to this program who does not know the claims of Christianity, who does not know that it is eminently reasonable to believe in God, who does not know that there is historical evidence for the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, that Christianity is above all philosophies, as the early philosopher, Greek philosopher Justin Martyr said, the philosophy that is the true philosophy that gives us an accurate reflection of reality. Contact Issues, Etc. Contact us at Answers in Action. We'd be happy to dialogue you with you and not merely exchange name-calling, because I don't think that's very fruitful, but actually exchange ideas and exchange facts and information. People who dismiss Christianity as silly, unscientific, unhistorical, made-up, funny stuff haven't really looked at Christianity, and we'd be happy to help them do that.
One more phone call here before we go. Rose from Cleveland, listening on WHK. Rose, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Yes, thank you. Gretchen mentioned Ephesians 6, and I just wondered how you explain, if you don't have to fight the devil, how do you explain putting on the whole armor of God that you might be able to withstand against the wiles of the devil?
Rose, that's an excellent question, a good one to end on. What is that Ephesians 6 passage really about, if not what some of the proponents of spiritual warfare would say, going out there and doing battle with the devil, Gretchen?
Well, it's interesting that that passage in Ephesians 6, beginning with verse 10, comes at the end of a long list of instructions that Paul gives to the Christians in Ephesus about how to live their Christian lives victorious in the power of the Holy Spirit because of what Christ had done for them on the cross. And so we find that the primary purpose of Ephesians 6, 10 through the end of the chapter is to equip us for victorious Christian living. It is the blueprint, if you will, for Christian discipleship. An added bonus, a byproduct of that, is that we do not need to fear the demonic, and the demonic has no power or no control over us because of our relationship with Christ. But the important point, the good news, is our relationship in Christ. It's rather incidental and a blessing of a byproduct that by being in Christ, we are impervious to the attacks of the devil.
Gretchen Pasentino, thank you for being our guest on Issues, Etc.
Thank you. It's always a blessing to share God's word.
Folks, we will be coming to you live, continue our conversation here live this Sunday, September the 21st. We'll be continuing to take your phone calls as well for Gretchen Pasentino in the next hour. We'll also be giving away copies of a book in the next hour on spiritual warfare. It's a book called Power Encounters by David Powelson. If you're one of the best callers with a question or a comment for Gretchen in the next hour, we'll send you this book, 1-800-730-2727. 1-800-730-2727, or you can always post questions or comments on the Issues Etc. forum, issuesetc.org. Under the What's New section, you'll find our Issues Etc. forum. You can tune in live in the next hour as well on the Internet. Go to our website, issuesetc.org. Click on the worldwide KFUO logo that you find there, and you'll be able to listen to the next hour's conversation, issuesetc.org. This is serious business. It is. There's no two ways about it. This is deadly serious business. Scripture is right to talk about the Christian being, if you will, on a battlefield. There's no two ways about it. The war, however, is over. The enemy is defeated. Why are we still on the battlefield if the enemy is defeated? Because the victory is ours. Clothed with the whole armor of God, all these things that God has done for us, giving us truth, righteousness, salvation, the gospel of Jesus Christ, whereby victory over sin, death, and the devil is ours. Jesus' victory there at the cross was won. That's why the war is over, because Jesus already won. He was the only casualty, and he was the victor in his resurrection. And that victory is now ours. Why are we clothed this way, to stand on the battlefield? St. Paul is quite clear, to stand. To stand victorious on the battlefield. We don't need to raise our weapons. We have every defense that Christ has purchased for us by his blood at our disposal. We stand, we hold the ground that Christ has won until he comes again. He has fought the battle. He has won the victory. And he has given this victory to us. That's all there is to it. The devil is a foe, but he's a defeated foe. And he was defeated at the cross of Jesus and the resurrection. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening. Talk to you next week on Issues, Etc.
Listen to Pastor Todd Wilkin weekly on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for Issues, Etc. to continue. Our mailing address, Issues, Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Or you can donate by credit card on our resource line, 1-800-737-0172. 1-800-737-0172. Visit us this week on the World Wide Web. Our website address, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. Issues, Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.